chapter number 11. We're also going to read a little bit in Genesis chapter number 5. And we'll probably read a little bit in the book of Jude. But we'll start with Hebrews chapter 11. I've been studying in this chapter, and I've got on my mind here one man out of this chapter. There are so many wonderful things in Hebrews chapter 11. It's hard to just pick one, but we'll spend a moment here in the life of Enoch for just a little while. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now I want to read a little bit from the book of Jude a moment, right before the book of Revelation. This little book, there's only one chapter. We'll read about Enoch again. Jude, just one chapter, in verse number 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Then if you'd like to look back with me in the book of Genesis chapter 5 for a moment, I want to read a few verses here, if you'll just follow with me and bear with me a moment. Genesis 5 and verse number 5. Genesis 5 and verse 5. "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan, and Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel, and Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." I want to preach on faith for just a moment. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Enoch was translated. That's what the Bible said. Now that translation was Enoch leaving this world and going to the next world. He was translated. You and I that have been saved have already experienced one translation. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've gone from darkness to light. And we that are saved one day may experience another translation. It may be the Lord will come back and take us out before we have to die. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? God to come back. But here is Enoch. He is a man, the Bible says, who walked with God, and he was translated three times in Hebrews chapter 11. And the verse we read, verse number 5, it will say he was translated. It'll say translated, translated, and translation three times. Now, I'm a three-point preacher, so that works good for me. But I want to preach on that translation, and I want to preach on the continuation of faith, or faith continues. You understand that Christianity is not a glance toward God, but rather it's gazing at God. Being a Christian does not mean that one time years back in my life, I thought about God and prayed a prayer and now I just go my own way. That is not Christianity. Christianity is one day I began a life with God. You know, it's interesting, there were two men in the Bible who were translated. Remember who they were? Enoch, and the other one was Elijah. The Bible tells us something interesting about Elijah. In 1 Kings, I believe it's chapter 17, Elijah is standing before Ahab the king. Ahab is a wicked king. Elijah has come to give him a message from God. He's standing before Ahab, and he's speaking to Ahab, but here's what he says to Ahab. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand. Now that's interesting. Because we would want to say to Elijah, Elijah, you're mistaken. You are standing before Ahab. You are standing before King Ahab. Elijah would say, no, I'm not standing before Ahab. I'm looking beyond Ahab's throne to a higher throne. I'm looking beyond Ahab's authority to a higher authority. It would appear that in Elijah's life, he lived a life where he was continually conscious that he was living in the presence of God. And that is Christianity. A life lived in the presence of God. Now, when we come back to Enoch, the other man that was translated, here's the way the Bible puts that concerning a life lived in the presence of God. The Bible puts it very simply, and he walked with God. Who do you walk with? What is involved in the walk of your life? Because that's really what it's talking about. Walking with God is my life. That was the life of Enoch. He walked with God. What's involved in walking with God? Well, certainly friendship. I don't think you'll walk with somebody you don't want to walk with. There's friendship. And then there's fellowship. Can I make up a word? Do you mind if I make a word up? Fellowship. Who is walking with whom? God is not walking with Enoch. Enoch is walking with God. It is not God trying to find Enoch to get in step with him. It is Enoch wanting to be in step with God. So there's friendship and there's fellowship. And then certainly there would be fellowship together. How can two walk together except they be agreed, is the way the Bible put it. So there is fellowship. So here is Enoch walking with God. And I want to say three things about that this morning. And I really have, or this afternoon, I really have one thing I'm interested in getting to, but it'll take me just a minute. Not very long. It'll take me just a minute to get there. First of all, when I think of this translation, I would talk about or mention the translation and the redirection. Because the Bible implies to us in Genesis 5 that Enoch did not always walk with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So sometime in Enoch's life, there was a redirection. He was walking whatever way he wanted to go, whatever direction he wanted to go, but something happened that caused him to change his direction. He decided to walk with God. What was it? Well, the word Methuselah, if you study the word out, it has the idea or carries the idea of judgment. Sometimes, if you take it, Methuselah, there are two Hebrew words that it is translated from. And if you put them together, it means the man of the dart or the man of the javelin. If you take them apart and think of what they mean individually, you come up with this: when he is gone, it will come. Did you know what happened when Methuselah died? The flood came. The flood that destroyed the world. Now, why did Enoch name his son, when he is gone, it will come? Why did he name his son a name of judgment? Could it be perhaps that God revealed to Enoch that judgment was on its way? the flood was coming. There was a time when God would bring universal judgment on the entire world because of their wickedness and their ungodliness. I know Christians today don't like to hear about the flood. They don't like to hear about judgment. As a matter of fact, I better be careful because this is a whole nother message. If you think about what the Bible said in the next verse in Hebrews, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, whereby he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now think about Noah a moment in the three words in that verse that modern Christianity does not want to hear. Warned, fear, and condemned. Warned, fear, and condemned. Most folk don't want to hear about that. And someone will say, preacher, if you preach a message of fear or a message of warning or a message of condemnation, then you're not preaching grace. You're not a grace preacher. But I want to remind you who the first person in the Bible of whom it is ever said that he found grace. You know who it was? Noah, that man who was moved with fear, that man who was warned of God, that man who condemned the world by his holy life. God said Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. So apparently, preaching on fear and warning and condemnation does have something to do with grace. And so God apparently told this man Enoch that judgment is coming. There's a flood coming. And when Enoch heard about the judgment of God, he said, you know what I better do? I better change the way I'm living. I better believe God and I better start walking with God. And he did. He turned and redirected and began to walk with God. Have you ever had a redirection in your life? Has there been a time when God dealt with you and showed you you were a sinner and you repented? You were headed that way and now you're headed this way. You used to walk according to the prince, the course of this world, the prince and the power of the air, and now you're walking with God. Have you had a redirection in your life? Enoch had one. That judgment that was to come caused him to want to walk with God. There is the translation and the redirection. Then there is, I think, in Enoch's life, the translation and the emancipation. So what do you mean emancipation? Enoch got free. What did he get free of? Death. And not only of death, but of the things that were associated with death. Apparently, Enoch was surrounded by ungodliness, by wickedness. Enoch was. You say, preacher, how do you know? Remember we read it in Jude? Ungodly sinners and their ungodly deeds and their ungodly speeches, which ungodly men have. Apparently, he is surrounded by ungodliness. But you know what the translation did? It emancipated him from ungodliness. Somebody said, preacher, why do you look forward to the rapture? I'm looking forward to the day when I'll never sin again. I'm looking forward to the day when the devil will never be able to attack me and my flesh will never be able to tempt me and the world will never be able to attract me. I look forward to that day when I'll be emancipated from all my failures and my weaknesses and my sin and I'll never have to say I'm sorry to God again. That'll be a wonderful day, won't it? Be a wonderful day. Now, I will say this, it is wonderful to be forgiven and to have the forgiveness of God and the blessedness of forgiveness, but wouldn't it be more wonderful to never have broken fellowship with God and just walk with Him all the time? Emancipation. We're looking for the coming of the Lord because there'll be no more wickedness, there'll be no more death, there'll be no separation, no sorrow. That'll be a wonderful day. A wonderful day. Emancipation. And then here's the third thing, and I'll be done in just a moment. There was a redirection that was associated with this translation and an emancipation. And now this is what I'm really interested in. There was a continuation. A continuation. Now, we read it in the book of Genesis. Adam lived so many years, and he died. Seth lived so many years, and he died. Enos lived so many years and he died again and again and he died and he died and he died and he died. You know that the devil had said to Eve, "Ye shall not surely die." Remember? And God said in Genesis 5, it's almost as though God said, "I told you so. I told you you'd die. I told you." And he died and he died and he died. But when we come to Enoch, he did not die. He was not, for God took him. Now listen to me. You know what the translation of the saints will not do for a person that walks with God? it'll not be a big change. It will simply be a continuation of a life lived walking with God. See, this translation did not change Enoch so much in his desires and his heart. Certainly it changed his physical condition, but in his desires and his heart, it was simply a continuation of the life that he had lived. Death comes to those who do not know God, and we may die physically, but we'll never die spiritually. But it is possible that we may walk with God and leave this world, and it'll just simply be a continuation of our earthly life, of walking with God. So I'm thinking about Enoch walking with God, and I'm thinking to myself, if the rapture comes, will it be such a great change for us? Or will it simply remove all the hindrances and we'll just continue our walk with God? That'll be a wonderful day and a wonderful thing. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed.